Dear brothers and sisters, today we will be looking at the 10th commandment. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Neighbor refers to not only fellow believers, but everyone around us, including relatives and non-believers. The commandment to not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor means more than simply not desiring others' possessions. It tells us to let go of all worldly desires. Human greed is endless. No matter how much we possess, we rarely say that it's enough, but continue to seek more. Yet, even if we attain countless possessions, the thirst in our hearts, as I shared a sermon, I said, let's say you gained a lot of money and you wanna live, have more abundance, you save up and you save money and put your money in the savings account, and let's say your account reaches a certain amount, but you are not satisfied and you aim to get another specific amount. Even after you get that amount, you raise your it looks like he has enough. He always has enough money to buy his houses. Like, and then he gathers more money. It looks like he's enough and he should be satisfied. And even after he retires from his company, he doesn't have trouble living. Then, do you think he would be satisfied? He would have raised his aim. He would seek to raise more money. Even after he reaches a certain amount, he never gets satisfied. Let's say you say have 1 million, then you are not happy about not having 2 million. You may think that you'll be satisfied if you have just 1 million, but you are not satisfied. You look around and see people who have more than you, and you become envious of them, and you become displeased and unhappy about that. You are not happy because you have reached a certain amount. It's not the truth. Because you want to have more, because you compare yourself with others, you are unhappy. You are unsatisfied. This comes from your greed and selfish desire. Because you have greed, because you have love for the world, you never learn to be satisfied and you never get happy. No matter. Yet, even if we attain countless possessions, the thirst in our hearts remains unquenched. Just as numerous rivers never fill the sea, our hearts continue to seek more and better things. God urges us not to seek earthly, perishable things, but to only pursue what is above. True joy and fulfillment come when we fill our hearts with the hope of eternal life and heaven. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions?" May today's message help you recognize what is truly valuable and what we have to pursue. I pray in the Lord's name that you will not love the world or pursue worldly things, but pursue the eternal and incorruptible glory of heaven and make it your own. The 10th commandment is about not coveting others' possessions. Simply, you may think that all I have to do is not to covet others' possessions, but this commandment implies the meaning that we have to cast off all greed. unless we cast off such greed, we cannot stand firm. The commandments from 1 to 4, it is about the relationship with God. Once we accept the Lord, once we begin to believe in God and believe in heaven and hell, but if we don't cast off greed, if we still love the world, and if we have become, then we will fall farther and farther away from the love of God. When we are about to suffer disadvantage by choosing God, that's the point when we lose our faith, forsake our faith, and become farther and farther away from salvation. This is because we hold on to the greed, worldly desires. The greed gives birth to sins and leads to death. When you hear about the 10th commandment, you may think about simply not coveting others' possessions. But if you have anything that and the commandments from 5 to 10, when you have becoming jealousy and envy is hatred, and it leads to spiritual murder. But if you cast off love for the world, if we cast off greed and covetousness, then it'll be easier to cast off such sinful natures. And you may think that you don't want to be rich, and you may say you may be satisfied with and you don't seek worldly riches. You may say, I don't seek worldly riches. It's okay for me to live in poverty. But you shouldn't misconceive that you are fulfilling. But if you are envious of what others have, dear brothers and sisters, imagine visiting a neighbor's home only to find that they are incredibly wealthy. Seeing the large, stunning house filled with rare treasures, you can't help but comment on its beauty and wonder. But sometimes, admiration turns into the thoughts of, what if I had a house like that? What if I were as wealthy as him? As we live our lives, there are times when others are more recognized and more complimented. There are people who are more competent than you. There are many cases when you are in a workplace, when you see people who are better looking. When you meet such a situation, you encounter a person who's better than you. Then you have to admit that they are better than you. You have to accept the fact, and then you have to try to improve yourself through that chance. Then that means you have a good heart. But if you think, she's so good, you have to challenge yourself to be better. You have to try to learn from him, and you just compliment them. But if you compare yourself to them, if you blame yourself about your shortcomings, if you become jealousy and envious, this is comes from your greed and covetousness. Because you have shortcomings, when another person is better than you, you may want to resemble him, and you want to focus. If you want to compliment them, that's enough. But if you go further than that, and if you become like disappointed, become saddened, and become discouraged, and harbor evil in your heart, that means you have envy and jealousy and evil in your heart. If you have such things going on in your heart, you have to discover them and try to cast them off. I'm talking about a situation where you visit someone else's house. As faithful believers, we may not feel like stealing someone else's possessions, but the desire to possess the same can allow greed to settle in our hearts. As long as this, you don't just think, oh, it's so good, but you go further than that. You want to have that house, and you compare your house to his house, and by that process, greed settles in your heart. Also, the greed that is already in your heart gets provoked and gets stirred up, and greed becomes more. As long as this greed resides in us, it can eventually lead to sin. James chapter 1 verse 15 states, Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Greed for material possessions, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of this life are all rooted in a desire to love the world. People envy what others have and feel sad about what they don't have. They feel sad about what they don't have. Such greed can result in lies, theft, adultery, robbery, fraud, embezzlement, and even murder. It can create enmity among brothers, parents and children, or spouses. Greed prevents them from rejoicing in the truth, and often leads to jealousy of those who have more than they do. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 states, I mean, when you get jealousy, when you compare yourself to others, when you have inferiority, all these things share the same root, greed. If you have such things going on in your heart, you have to know that this is evil. You have to know that that's why you compare yourself to others when you see someone better than you and you talk behind their backs, talk bad about that person, you gossip, and when you find the shortcomings about them, you talk behind their backs because you have envy and jealousy and hatred. And you downplay also their merits. You don't compliment them, and you just downplay their achievements. This is comes from envy and jealousy and greed. You have to discover such areas and try to change yourself. This will be the source of true joy and happiness. It's not that we are unhappy because we don't have, because you don't know how to be satisfied, because you have such feelings that make you unhappy. That's why we have to cast off and discover such things. The Bible says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many quips. This verse indicates that even those who claim to believe in God can be led astray by greed and commit sins. The Bible contains many examples. For instance, during the conquest of Canaan, Achan stole gold, silver, and a beautiful cloak from the spoils of the battle and hid them. Despite knowing that all the spoils were to be dedicated to God, he succumbed to the temptation and secretly stole. As a result, Achan, along with his entire family and their livestock, was destroyed. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was driven by greed for silver and clothing. He deceived Naaman and lied to God's servant Elijah, ultimately afflicting himself with leprosy. Similarly, Ananias and Sapphira sold their land with the intention of giving the proceeds to God. But when they received the money in their hands, greed was stirred up. They hid a portion of the money, claiming that they bought was the full amount. This lie, motivated by greed, one of the commandments tells us not to lie. and they lied motivated by greed. This lie amounted to deceiving the Holy Spirit. They were cursed and their souls left. Through the biblical records, we can draw a lesson. Greed can distress us and lead to death. We learned about the Ten Commandments. And in your life, if you have a desire to steal from God, if you have more, if you want to deceive others to have more, such things have to be discovered and cast off and removed. You may say, I don't covet others' possessions. You may misconceive that you are, but just you have to recognize what is happening in your heart, and then you have to root out all the roots of the greed so that you can have true joy from God. Dear brothers and sisters, no matter how much a person enjoys or even if he gains the whole world, what use is it once he loses his life? Even though someone lacks wealth and fame in this world, but believes in the Lord and possesses true life, he is truly rich. In Luke chapter 16, we find the parable of a rich man and a beggar. The rich man always wore fine clothes and lived in luxury, while Lazarus, the beggar, led a pitiful life, begging for scraps from the rich man's table. His misery was great, to the point where dogs came and licked his sores. If people were asked to choose, most would choose to live the life of the rich man. But because they don't know the outcome, based on how they are living in the present, they would choose to live like the rich man. But because he didn't believe in God or hope in heaven, earthly pleasures meant everything to him. He didn't know how to give to others or store up much treasures in heaven, focusing only on satisfying his greed. The rich man did not fear God. As you hear, you may think, because I believe in God, because I accepted the Lord, I'm not like the rich man. Even if you have accepted the God, your life could be like that of a rich man. You may not be fearing God. You may think that you are fearing God, but actually your life is not fearing God. You are not living by the word, and you are following worldly greed, and you are living in a ways that no different from the worldly people. There are many Christians who are like that, and they are no different from the rich man. In contrast, though Lazarus lived a humble life, he revered God from his heart, fixing his hope on heaven. At the end of their lives, both the rich man and the Lazarus faced a final moment. Death came to both of them, especially young people and young adults and students. You may not, after your life is over, and you may not think about your final moments in life because you are young, because you are not sick, you are without a disease. But death, final moment can come to anyone. You have to stay awake. And when the Lord descends to the air, we have to... Even the early church members did that. Our Jesus said that our resurrected Lord said that He would come back. He promised He would come back. And when people were watching Jesus, and the angels told them that Jesus, who was ascending to heaven, would come back just the way you see Him ascending to heaven. And But they were, for those 2,000 years, those who stay awake, even though they lived with a heart that they would welcome the Lord alive. And so that's why they circumcised their heart. They didn't befriend the world. And then when they faced the final moment, they met the Lord. Were they mistaken? Were they wrong? Were they, their inspiration was wrong? As I told you, they saw our Lord ascending to heaven, and the angels told them that the Lord will come back to you the way, the same way you saw Him ascending to heaven. Whether you are living 1,000 years ago or living right now, whatever the case, you have to live with a mindset you will meet your our Lord alive, and you have to feel you shouldn't have any shame. Even if you meet the Lord today, you have to live like this every day. We are not suffering loss. Even if we live like that, let's say that you are, let's say you live 70 years and meet our Lord, and you may think that you live as you please for 60 years, and for the last 10 years, you circumcise your heart and you prepare yourself to go to heaven. Do you think that this is wise? No. You, as you live as you please, you accumulate evil in your heart. You are in the habit of loving the world. Nowadays, we have, there are many kinds of addicts. There are game addicts. People are become addicted to playing games. They are addicted to playing sports, as they are in the habit because they are so much into it. They cannot get out of that. This is you have experienced it, right? If you have in a good habit of praying, you don't find it difficult to come to church to pray. But otherwise, if you, as you skip daily praying once and twice, and for a week or for half a year, it's difficult for you to resume praying. You know that you have that experience. What about sins and evil? The enemy devil instigates you. It takes seizes control over you. The enemy devil has controlled you, and you live 60 years, 50 years as you please. And then at some point you try to, you have to start from right now. But you know that it is not easy, because man's heart field, it's easy for our hearts to be stained with the sins and evil. And you know that we are well aware of that. Our final moment could not just be about death. Even if our Lord comes back right now, you have to stay awake, and you have to stay awake in faith. That doesn't mean we have to cut off from the world. You have to shine the light in the world. We have to, in our workplace, we have to become the head and give off the aroma of Christ and evangelize our staff. And you have to become, set a good example as God's sons and daughters and sons. And you have to stay awake and cast off evil. This is how, this is a, anyone can face a final moment at any time. That's why we have to stay on alert and awake. Death came to both of them, but the two outcomes were worlds apart. Lazarus was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, while the rich man descended to Hades and was destined to suffer in torment forever. In the burning fire of hell, the rich man longed for even a single drop of water to cool his tongue. He was in the haze. The rich man longed for even a single drop of water to cool his tongue. Yet even this small wish could not be granted. If given another chance, would the rich man choose the same life again or that of Lazarus? Let's say the rich man would be given another chance. What kind of life would he live? What kind of life would he live? Would he choose to live the life of a rich man or a beggar? No wonder he would choose to be saved, even if he had to be live as a beggar. Absolutely. The fact that he experienced being tormented in the fire, he knew that he would have to be tormented in fire forever. And he knows that the life on this earth is very short. He doesn't even have to have second thoughts about that. He absolutely chooses to live life of salvation. Surely, he chooses salvation. If you indeed have faith and spiritual insight, you wouldn't lose joy and gratitude of salvation no matter how difficult your situation is in a physical sense. Those who revere God and walk in the light can receive blessings of abundance, even if they once lived like Lazarus. Since Jesus, our rich and sovereign Lord, took on all our poverty, we too can receive blessings of abundance when we live by faith. But the key point here is that even if we are without worldly blessings, eternal life is far more important. Those with true faith remain unmoved no matter how humble their earthly life is. Some may wonder why certain people aren't blessed despite their devoted faith. But there is no need for this. Anyone living sincerely in faith isn't without blessings. God always provides the best for His children who ask with faith. But blessings also have orders. Blessings also have order. As 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." It's important to first receive the blessing of having our souls prosper. If we remove sins from our hearts and have our souls prosper as children of God, we will not only enjoy eternal glory in heaven, but have all things go well on earth. This is the law of the spiritual realm. If a person whose soul is not prospering gains wealth, it's not always a blessing. More wealth can fuel desires that give birth to sin and may cause them to drift from God. In difficult times, they relied on and sincerely loved God, but with the blessings of material wealth, they shift their focus to worldly desires. They make excuses like being busy to distance themselves from God. As they put more of their heart on worldly matters, they spend less time at church and neglect prayer. When earnings were small, they gave tithes with gratitude, but as their tithes increase with financial blessings, they feel reluctant to give. As the heart becomes corrupted, they drift further and further away from God's word and become like worldly people. However, people whose souls are prospering do not covet worldly things. Even when blessed with material wealth or honor, they do not fall into worldly desires. They don't resent God about lacking good things of the world. Instead, they can sacrifice even their lives for God. Even while Apostle Paul experienced many persecutions, hunger, cold, and everything, he didn't complain about them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13 states, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." With the joy of salvation and love for God filled in his heart, Apostle Paul was able to give thanks in every situation and serve God with gratitude. If you cultivate the same mindset, you can receive blessings even on this earth. This message talks about greed, casting of love for the world. That doesn't mean we have to live like a beggar, like Lazarus. We have to be rich and be wealthy and help others and give glory to God. In receiving blessings, there are things that we need to keep in mind. The blessings of having our souls prosper is more important than earthly blessings and has to be received first. But this does not mean that we must live in constant hardship or other desires remain unanswered until we come into spirit. While we diligently pursue the truth according to our faith, if we ask in faith for what we need, God will provide for us. There is a time and a season for everything. While we may seek immediate answers, God knows the best time for His answers. So, He may have us wait a little more for greater blessings. But if we've asked truly with faith, we will continue to pray without ceasing until our requests are fulfilled. However, if we ask out of greed and beyond our measure of faith, we cannot have spiritual faith no matter how much we pray, nor can we receive answers. The Bible says, "You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." If we ask wrongfully, God cannot grant our requests. It is similar to a parent refusing to give their children allowance when they ask for it for bad purposes rather than for studious reasons. So, when you ask for something, ensure your prayers align with God's will and are guided by the Spirit rather than praying with fleshly thoughts. In order to receive blessings, what should we do? We have to make our souls prosper first. But even before we become a man of spirit, Father God still wants to bless us on the condition that we don't live in sins and evil. If we willfully commit sins and ask for blessings, we cannot receive blessings. We have to try to cast off evil, but we may not be perfect, so we repent and we ask God to help us cast off sins. And then we can ask for our needs, then He will provide. But if we ask out of greed, we cannot be blessed. So, we have to pray according to the inspiration of the Spirit. You may wonder why we are addressing prayer while going over the commandment of "You shall not covet your neighbor's belongings." If his children are trying to cast off covetousness and striving for holiness, God desires them to enjoy abundance. But to cast off covetousness, fill our hearts with heaven, and draw forth answers and blessings, prayer is essential. So, we are talking about prayer. What God desires is prayer in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Similarly, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 urges us to pray at all times in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows God's heart and searches even His depths. So, praying under the Spirit's guidance aligns with God's will and pleases Him. For example, you have some difficulties, you are in trials and tests, you are being misunderstood, you are in financial difficulties, but when you pray and you ask God to resolve your problems and you ask God to remove your financial difficulties, and you want to pray that way, but the Holy Spirit may in light first remind you of why such troubles came to you. But when you have the spiritual inspiration, you would pray, "Father God, I am in this trouble because I have greed, because I committed wrongdoings. Let me cast off such things. I want to receive blessings." Actually, initially, you wanted to resolve your problems, but the Holy Spirit inspires you to repent of your sins and evil during your personal prayer. And you mainly repented of, and is this prayer wrong? When you are inspired by the Spirit, the Father God answers you. And When you have to check whether you are praying with the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, your prayers are answered promptly, allowing your soul to prosper and your heart's desires to be fulfilled quickly. To pray in the Spirit, most importantly, you have to pray wholeheartedly. How should we pray wholeheartedly? You have to offer up, you have to be sincere. Every time you seek Spirit's inspiration, you want to pray wholeheartedly, then you have to first check whether you're sincere. When you are sincere, you wouldn't babble in prayer. You wouldn't speak gibberish. You wouldn't fall into you wouldn't doze off in prayer. You wouldn't just say meaningless words in prayer. You wouldn't daydream in your prayer. You wouldn't have idle thoughts. You are so desperate to receive answers, and how could you not be sincere? How could you not be? You have to apply the same principle to your sanctification. You want to achieve sanctification. You want to resemble our Father God, and you want to enter New Jerusalem. Otherwise, you don't know. You never know at what point you would betray God. You never know. That's why you cast up such evil, and you are so sincere and desperate. Then how would you not cry out in prayer? How would you not cry out in prayer with earnestness? Then you are inspired by the Holy Spirit in your prayer. So in order to pray wholeheartedly, you have to be sincere and earnest. You wouldn't. Sometimes when we try to pray for spiritual change, pray to come into Spirit, you just you may say that you want to achieve beatitude, you want to achieve patience, you have to pray in more detail. You have to lay down, you have to break down yourself in more detail. This is the truth of prayer. You have to confess that, Father God, I have this evil. I have to cast this off. I am hating someone. I am. You are. Some people, you have to offer the truth of prayer while you are envious of others, you are jealous of others, but you hide it from God, Father God, and you say that, Father God, I want to love that person, but you have to pray more truthfully. You have to lay down yourself everything. You have to become naked, like before God. You have to say in detail that you have this kind of evil and that kind of evil. You have adulterous mind. And when you look at a woman or a man, you want to date him. You want to be close to him. And you want to, if you have such sensual desire or adulterous mind, you have to confess that before God. And you have to confess that you want to cast it off in prayer. And when you offer up such truth of prayer, you pray from the Spirit, from the heart, and the Holy Spirit helps you. And along with that, you have to, when you pray for your spiritual change, and you also pray to receive the fullness and inspiration of the Spirit, and you, please listen to this. When you pray from the heart, you have to offer up earnest and genuine prayers to the Father at every moment. You should first earnestly ask for His power. This power includes the strength to overcome the world with hope for heaven and the faith to triumph over the enemy devil, as well as the ability to heal diseases. It's important to also seek the strength to pray fervently so we can pray in depth with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the ability to love our enemies, the strength to live according to the Word, and the power to have spiritual thoughts. As you seek these spiritual powers and pray with sincerity, you get gradually filled with the Holy Spirit. Often expressed as being immersed in prayer, this experience allows prayers to flow effortlessly, with even unexpected prayer titles pouring forth. In these prayers, you can cry out for long without feeling fatigue, gaining new strength instead. Try to pray in this manner during the dinner prayer meeting. Forcing your thoughts to crave prayers and merely filling the time can be exhausting. But when you cry out from your heart and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you don't even want to stop praying. Through this, you'll be able to receive quick answers. And just for the fact that you're praying in the Spirit, joy overflows from within. Another important factor in praying in the Spirit is being armed with the Word of God. Only when you've been nourished by the Word, you can receive His inspiration clearly in prayer. For example, you lack spiritual love and you feel like filling yourself with the spiritual love. And you first have to know what spiritual love is, and you have to arm yourself with the Word. Word about the spiritual love, and you have to discover what shortcomings you have, and that's why you have to arm yourself with the Word. If you consider the weekly sermons you hear as spiritual nourishment and cry out daily in prayer from the heart, then a year will be more than enough for sanctification. Daniel prayer will be enough for personal requests. As fervent prayers accumulate, greed and all sins can be cast aside quickly, and you gain faith to receive whatever you ask for. Receiving the authority of the Word, the ability to heal diseases. Receiving the authority of the Word, the ability to heal diseases and power requires even more prayer. In addition to Daniel prayer meeting, if you want to change the souls and want to receive power, Daniel prayer is not enough. You have to pray more, accumulate more prayer. But for your personal requests, for your personal transformation, Daniel prayer meeting is enough. You cannot give an excuse saying that Daniel prayer was not enough. May you shed all your greed for worldly things, cultivate a heart of contentment, and always overflow with gratitude and joy with hope for heaven. I hope that you will fervently pray in the Spirit, quickly attain sanctification, and seek what is proper in God's sight, thereby receiving abundant answers. Let me conclude a message, dear brothers and sisters. Today is the conclusion of the Ten Commandments. God gave us these commandments not to burden us, but to grant us perfect blessings both spiritually and physically. Without them, we wouldn't know how to resemble God or receive His blessings. Through these commandments, we've learned how to please God and receive His answers and blessings. We've also found out how to enter the most glorious place in everlasting heaven. First John chapter 3 verse 21 and 22 says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I hope you will wholly keep God's commandments with joy and gratitude, rather than keeping only what you can keep or just keeping them out of obligation. You have to wholly keep the commandments. May you receive all His promised blessings and become distinguished people who always glorify God and ultimately enter the most glorious heaven.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.